Our podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president. It's critical to perform regular checkups to assess your strategy, asset allocation, and individual holdings, because the future that was way off is now here, and maybe it's not what you thought it would be. Steve conducts portfolio reviews by Skype or telephone to anywhere in the U.S. His next available date is June 16th. Steve works with clients all over the country. To take advantage of this free review, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Then portfolio review. The staff will take care of the rest. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, June 13th, 2016 edition of InvestTalk, and our goal each and every weekday is to help you become an above-average investor. Not sink down to the average person's emotional swings when it comes to investing, and also not get stuck with bad investment advice from those who have conflicted reasons for giving you certain advice. And I'll give you an example. I just talked to a listener today, and they were with a big brokerage firm, and they're about to get stuck in some bad funds that are expensive to get out of, and it scares me to see this. And this person just retired, and it's a scary situation that a lot of people find themselves in because they just trust those big guys, and they think that they know what they're talking about, and really they're serving themselves and not their clients. And this is those are the type of things that we try to help you understand on this show, is not just how to invest, but also who to trust with advice as well. Now, it's no surprise that one of our most popular topics on InvestTalk is also real estate. So many of us have a stake in the health of the housing market. And the questions of whether this is a buyer's or a seller's market really isn't relevant for the most part, because most people find they're playing both roles, buying and selling, or they're moving up market, down market. So what is the general health of the market? What defines today's housing market? After experiencing the gut-wrenching dismantling of home values just a few years ago, I guess now it's more than that. You're talking 7-8 years now. It seems like yesterday, but it's almost a decade, close to a decade than it is today. So what is it like today? Kiplinger.com characterized the market earlier this year as settling into a steadier, less speculative groove. I don't know if I'd call it that, but that's what they said. What kind of market is it? Every market's a little bit different. Most prices generally are rising modestly, mainly on tight supply. And that tight supply is a speed bump for a lot of home buyers because there's not a lot to choose from. So people are bidding multiple bids on properties. So it's definitely a seller's market. Definitely a seller's market in most markets throughout the country, especially here in California. But that is starting to change a little bit. So it'll be very interesting to see where that goes. Now, many homeowners don't have enough equity to move up because some are still underwater. The millennial generation wants to buy, but maybe they aren't ready to buy. Maybe they have too many student loans. Maybe the rents are too high for them to be able to save enough for a down payment. Another gauge of housing health is expressed by the number of people who owe more on their mortgage than their home is worth. That number is slowly decreasing. Now, nearly 13% of homes with a mortgage are underwater by at least 25%. Still a lot. But distressed sales have fallen 7% or to 7% of total sales in September of last year. So, and I believe that's been declining since as well. Now, more than half of homeowners with a mortgage have at least 20% equity. That's a good situation. But the vast majority they're staying put. They're not planning to move. Some are using wealth from their home to remodel, so cash out refinances are were down big for many, many years after the housing crisis, but they're starting to come back a little bit. So contractors have reported rising activity over the past few years and a backlog of projects as well. So that's kind of a synopsis of the overall market cooling to an extent, but still doing okay. But it's a seller's market. So if you're looking to sell, you want to sell sooner rather than later. Now, do you have a question about real estate? What is your strategy as you get closer to retirement? Are you going to downsize or maybe make some improvements at your home? Let's talk about it. You can reach me right now on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question, and I urge you to do it sooner rather than later. Don't wait till the end of the show. Let's go to Aishap in Switzerland, all the way from Switzerland. How you doing?
Hi. I'm actually in Sweden.
Sweden. Okay.
I got the wrong country. But gotcha. It's somewhere related.
They're both Nordic countries, right?
They're somewhat okay, but both like Sweden and U.S. are going down at the moment.
Gotcha.
Hence, I had a question because I heard Steve say about it that it's going to be a slump in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I have been with the stock market since 2013.
Uh-huh.
It took me some time to get into what is it about, and once I understood the technical analysis and so forth, I've been saving for about 5 years with 70% of my salary.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I don't have any loans. I uh-huh. don't owe anything, and I don't have a house. I only have around $100,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm sitting on the sidelines since I've seen the slump coming in already.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm not sure what to do in this situation. And the properties also seems to be really expensive. I'm not sure if it's the same situation as before 2008 where people went to emerging markets, but then what would I want to do in this situation, especially after this week or the last days when the markets went down like for several days?
Yeah, well, I do think emerging markets will outperform kind of the developed markets over the next 3 to 5 years or so. But that doesn't mean that it'll make money either. You know, if we go in a protracted slump, something like 2007, 2009, that type of bear market, which I think is entirely possible, that could slump as well. It's just maybe not as bad because it's already gone down so much. So it is definitely a risky market. You know, talk about property markets, definitely overvalued broadly, globally, because of low interest rates. You know, it's been a big tailwind for property prices, for asset prices in general. When you have low interest rates, it's a tailwind and a big boon for asset prices. And now, how much lower can really interest rates go? You have negative rates in many countries throughout the world, including Germany and Japan, and I believe in Switzerland as well, correct?
Yeah, Sweden.
Sweden.
It's also quite low, and here putting it into a bank account is even worse because they tax everything which you make on it, and basically, here you can't make it unless, for instance, if you play the dollar krona rate. But mm-hmm. in general, I see that the prices are in a huge bubble here.
Mm-hmm.
The European markets are not performing as well as I would expect them to. And the only markets which I turn to see is like I have two funds with Vietnam and Pakistan, and I see that mm-hmm. they actually are performing somewhat okay. So that leads me to a conclusion: it's just like in 2007, 2008. Maybe it's time to look at that. Well, I don't really trust gold because when everybody says buy gold, it seems suspicious. So I'm not quite sure what is the active play in the situation if in case in the summer we'll bring a slump. And I firmly believe that it has a higher chance of happening, just like Steve and you tell it. So I'm not quite sure what to do in that case because I'm under 30 and I haven't been here during 2008, 2009 crisis.
Yeah.
And I don't know what exactly I want. Can do in such
well, you can short the market. You can short stocks. That's an option as well. You know, we talk about opportunities in the market, and most people think of opportunities as buying, but opportunities can be selling as well. If you owned real estate in 2005 and 6, especially here in America, well, there wasn't a lot of great opportunities to buy, but your opportunities were to sell what you currently have. And luckily, in the stock market, you can actually short and sell stocks that you think are overvalued that you don't even own right now. So it's even easier to make money on the downside in the stock market. So that's an option as well. We are big believers in precious metals at this time. It's had a great year because of it. And we think that's only going to continue for the foreseeable future. You're talking, it's hard to know 10 years out, but I do think over the next 18, 24, 36 months, I think precious metals will do well. They will be very volatile, but I do think that is a good place to be and a good diversifier asset, way to asset allocate for this environment, which you're right. There is a lot of bubble type of valuations in many markets, not just the stock market, not just the real estate market, but even the bond market as well.
But would you turn to metals only and shorting basically the market?
Those are where we're leaning. I'll say that. And value investing. Look at deep value. Don't look at the hype stocks. Look at companies that maybe have been forgotten, have strong cash flows, decent dividends, and are anti-cyclical. And that's where we have found a lot of success this year. Thanks, Ashap. Thanks for calling. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. And speaking of housing, some places will actually pay a premium for you to move or live there. Try Harmony, Minnesota. They offer a cash rebate for new home construction. Real estate to Roth IRAs are ready to, we're ready to talk about. Whatever it is, we want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How you doing, Robbie? Robbie?
Hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for taking it.
I would like to know your opinion on the Wells Fargo and Bank of America.
Okay.
What is the best entry point into these stocks?
A lot lower than here. I am not a fan of banks at all. At all, at all, at all. You're in a low interest rate environment. We're likely headed for a recession in the next year or so. And you're going to have rising loan delinquencies. And the technically, they look terrible. You're going to have a blow up in Europe soon with the likes of Deutsche Bank or Credit Suisse or one of the big banks over in Europe, whether that's triggered by Brexit or just simply erosion from negative interest rates in Europe. Whatever it is, there's going to be some bad things that are going to come out of the European banking sector. And that will feed into Bank of America stock, Wells Fargo, although the Wells Fargo will probably be more insulated than most. I'm not a fan of either of them. I would say it got to be at least 30 to 40% lower than it is here. I really don't like Bank of America. I would take that completely off of your watch list. Wells Fargo, that's fine to have in your watch list because I think that they're a pretty well-run bank, that they take less risk, and I'm okay with them on your watch list. But, I'm going to say I would need Wells Fargo to be in the low to mid $30 range, and right now it's at $47.98 at the close today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Robbie. Thanks for calling. That was Bank of America, BAC, and Wells Fargo, WFC. Now you're listening to Invest Talk, and let's take a quick look at the market today. We had the Dow down. Let's see, what was it? 132 points. The S&P down 17. NASDAQ down 46. Gold was about flat. Oil was down a little bit on the strong dollar. And really what you're seeing is people are worried about the Brexit. The polls have come out, and they're looking more and more like there could be a vote to leave the European Union by British citizens coming up. I believe the vote is next week. And everyone's kind of worried about that. So the odds are still in favor of a remain. However, the odds are shrinking, I'll say that. So it's becoming more and more 50-50. I think a couple weeks ago, it was like an 80% remain odds. And now that's down to about a 60% and moving in the wrong direction. So that's what's really worrying the market right now. We're glad you're with us today for Invest Talk. I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Matt from Minneapolis here. Love the show. Learn a lot from you guys. Looking at a couple of value plays and one that is in real estate, BPY, Brookfield Property Partners, and then BG, Bum Limited. They both pay a real good dividends, I notice. And just wondering what you guys think of these two companies and everything about them. Are they sound, stable? Would you invest in them? Thanks for your help. Have a good day.
All right, he's looking at BPY, which is Brookfield Properties. This is a REIT that invests in high-quality commercial properties in North America, Europe, Australia, and Brazil. One thing that worries me is commercial-related. I do think that the next big bust is going to be focused on the commercial space and corporate debt. And that's going to hurt companies worldwide. And that's what might worry me, or does worry me a little bit, about Brookfield Properties. Yields about 4.6%. It's had a big rally from about 19 all the way to about 24 since the February lows. And it's not reached its high from mid or early part of 2015. Has a lot of debt. Growth is kind of okay. I don't like that debt level. Return on equity is pretty high. I like that, 54% return on equity. You know, this is a kind of a complicated one, but I just don't like it. The payout ratio is 119%. It is a REIT, so it's going to be that way. I'm just not a fan. I think there's a lot better REITs out there than Brookfield Properties. Now, he's also looking at Bungie Limited. They process, they're in agriculture space. They process grains and oil seeds and produces fertilizers, edible oil, and milling products sold worldwide. Now, the entire agriculture sector has been in a big decline over the past couple of years on the back of the strong dollar. And that's why Bungie has gone from a high in the around the $90 level, hit a low of 40 and change. Just a few months back. Now it's at $62.43, but I do think this is fairly cheap. So I like this one. It yields at 2.7%. Let me look at its payout ratio. The payout ratio is only 33%. I like that. I like this much better. I don't know if it's my favorite one in the agriculture space, but I do like this much better than Brookfield Properties. I think this is been down in the dumps. You're seeing agriculture prices really skyrocket over the past couple months, and this is the type of name that I have been looking at. It was on my list as one of them to look at. Wasn't my favorite, but I definitely like it. So if I'm gonna pick between the two, I'm gonna go with BG Bungie Limited. Now, how a 401k plan benefits the employer. We all know it benefits employees, but I think it's important to understand how it benefits employers as well. So that's our main talking point today, but I also have others as well. I want to touch on Microsoft's news that they are buying LinkedIn today for about $26 billion in cash, and I want to talk about whether that's too much. Is this going to be a good acquisition, or is this going to be a doomed acquisition like their previous acquisition of Nokia? There's a Quantiv that they bought, they wrote down. So we're going to get into that deal a little bit more. I just talked a little bit about why the banks are off to their worst start since 2011, and I'm going to get into that a little more in detail because I think it's important to understand. And I think it says a lot about our global economy and financial system as a whole today. And then finally, Apple. They had their Worldwide Developers Conference today, and they're trying to make some big changes. They're going to be making some big changes to their many different platforms and different operating systems that they write code for. And it could be a big change for the company, the technology industry as a whole, and your experience using Apple products in the near future. So those are my main talking points today. But ultimately, I want to hear from you. I want to know what's on your mind. I want to know whether or not are you bullish on this market? What have the last few days done for you? Do you know what's happened the last couple days? It's been a failed breakout. Do you know that? Do you know what that means? How bearish is that? Well, I'll give you a little hint. it's pretty darn bearish. So you need to be attentive in this marketplace. Tighten up your stops if you're a trader. Be very, very selective if you are looking to buy any names in this market. And if you're looking to sell, you probably want to do it sooner rather than later. We took some profits on a name today. We had a great day, generally. In our dynamic growth program, we were flat pretty much for the day, and the market was down about 1%. So, you know, we're having a great year, and that's because we're defensive, and that's what you need to be. You need to be a value investor in this market. You really do. Don't buy the hype of these high-flying names. Like, so if, look at Facebook today. Facebook was down solid today. You're going to have a pullback in a lot of these high-flying growth names. Facebook is down 2.25%, which was about double, over double what the market was. So understand where the risks are today. Be a value investor. Be selective. Don't buy the hype. Now, where do you go for your money answers? We hope you'll think of us. Call us anytime. Call our anytime line and record your question at 888-99-CHART or send a note to me directly. Click on the Contact Justin button on investtalk.com.
Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click back to listings for the last 5 Invest Talks, each listing the topics and stocks discussed, and you can listen to the podcast again. Just go to investtalk.com. We continue now with this Monday, June 13th Invest Talk. A real estate tip. Sometimes you have to give up on finding all your dream home features and go for the house that's in the perfect location. Got questions about real estate? 888-99-CHART is how to get in touch with licensed realtor and financial advisor Justin Klein.
Hi, Steve. There is an exchange-traded fund called Exponential Technology, and the symbol is XT. Do you have any information or comments regarding this ETF? Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. She's looking at iShares Exponential Technologies. That is the ETF. Its symbol is XT. And as the name would imply, it's a technology-focused ETF. I'm not sure what they mean by exponential technologies, but it makes it sound really cool. But, you know, it's filled with names like Advanced Micro Devices, Computer Science Corp, Infosys. It's pretty well diversified. It's not really heavily weighted in one particular type of company. 3D Systems is in here, but there's names like St. Jude Medical and Stryker and AT&T. So I guess it's companies that incorporate technologies. I'm not understanding why they created this ETF. But it is concentrated in growth names. And like I've been saying, growth is not where you want to be. Value will be outperforming growth. Now, for the foreseeable futures, the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you're going to see value do much, much better, which is the opposite of what you saw over the past 6 or 7 years, okay? So this is mainly large cap growth names. It's just frankly not where you want to be. It's pretty fairly low expenses. It sounds exciting, exponential technologies, but no, it's not the type of investment that you want to have in this environment. Focus on value. Now let's talk a little bit about 401k. Most people have a 401k, and there are more than 52 million American workers enrolled in 401k plans with total assets of $3.5 trillion. That's a lot. It's a lot. Now, setting up a 401k plan for any business out there, it's pretty simple. And it's available to American workers who work for sole proprietorships, partnerships, certain nonprofit organizations, and obviously corporations as well. Now, the key benefit for a small business is obviously recruiting and retention. I think a lot of people need to understand that. Turnover within an organization can be very expensive. So if you can give, if an employer can give somebody a good match, a reason to stay, and to compete with other employers, 401k can be very, very good for that. And that's the main benefit of having 401k. There are some tax deduction benefits, about $1,500 over the first 3 years, that's used to offset plan setup fees. But mainly, it's really about client or employee retention. So don't think that think that they are giving you a perk. It is a nice perk, but in today's environment, they kind of have to give you a 401k, give you that option. And any expenses or any matches that they give you is tax deductible. So instead of paying you and paying payroll tax, which is a lot, paying a Social Security tax, all these other taxes that add up, if they just match your 401k, it's a form of compensation, and that's tax deductible. You have to pay those extra taxes. So just kind of a rundown of what is in it for an employer when it comes to a 401k. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
How are you, Justin? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, I'm glad you called. What's going on?
I just wanted to ask about CF Industries. I was thinking about picking some up right around 27 area. Because I guess they had like a they were about ready to buy out a company, but that fell through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what effect that had on the share price, but it's been beaten down a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely been beaten down. It's a fertilizer company, manufactures nitrogen fertilizers, including urea, ammonia nitrates, and urea ammonium nitrate in North America. They've obviously been dragged down by the slump in the agriculture space and commodity space broadly. So that's why they've gone from a high of $70.32 as their 52-week high, and now they're at $28.62, which is right near their 52-week low. What worries me a little bit is that the agriculture space has got a nice bid recently, and they have not. And I'm wondering why that is. That worries me a little bit. But I do like the space that you're looking in. It yields about 4%. Its payout ratio is modest, not too bad. Operating earnings 13.75%. That's very good. That's a good value. Decent amount of debt. That's kind of adds to the worry a little bit. To me, love the space, love that dividend, good value, but what worries me most is that chart that has not gotten a bounce from along with the whole industry as a whole, and I'm wondering why that is. Do you have any insight on that?
Nothing other than the debt. Mm-hmm. I think they just made a $50 billion payoff, I think it was.
Hmm.
Because when the deal fell through with the company they were going to buy, mm-hmm. I think instead they paid off some debt.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's smart because their financial leverage is the highest it's ever been, meaning they have the most debt in relation to their assets than they've ever had. And that worries me a little bit as well, is that high level of debt load. So I would say it's okay to have it in your watch list, but the chart is telling me it's going to continue to go lower, and I would look for another name in this industry, a competitor of theirs. I'm not going to name names. I have them very closely on my watch list, ready to buy, probably very soon for clients, but it's not this name, but it is in this space.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Art. Let's go to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good. Thanks, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. I have a general question.
Yeah.
The volatility, the VIX, I know you can't buy the VIX, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What? Why there are options? So if you buy options, how you're going to trade them? Because option is just like buying or promise to buy something, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy options on them. I've never traded them, so I can't really tell you how they work, but that's really the best way that you can make money on the VIX going up. And I do think it will. I think we'll get back into the mid to high 20s on the VIX fairly soon. We're at 20.97 right now. So but as soon as it gets into that high 20 area, you gotta take profits on those options.
I know, but if you buy, I know that, but it means because they take the volatility out of those options that the day it will, because it drops very fast.
Yeah, well, that's how options work. Is you have the intrinsic value, and then then the value of time, and the longer you're in those options, the more you're going to have what it's called time decay. You're going to decay the value, time value of those options. So if you're going to buy options on the VIX, you want to go farther out. I'm talking 6-9 month options. If you're going to buy a call on the options on the VIX.
Okay.
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 Thanks, Manny. Let's go to John in San Francisco. How you doing, John?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem.
Enjoy your show. We would like to know about Berkshire Hathaway, BRKB.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it good to hold a stock or is it good to sell?
Well, it's a great company, but you have to understand it's a hodgepodge of companies, and many of them are very cyclical, and their biggest business is actually insurance. So, and the insurance industry is having a tough time because they're having difficulty making money on safe assets. So, you know, the likes of Geico obviously are incorporated within Berkshire Hathaway and other insurance companies as well. You know, it depends on your time horizon. I do think you could easily see if we go into a bear market, Berkshire will decline. So understand that there is a risk to it. Okay, if you go back to 2008, right, Berkshire went from around $100 a share to a low of about in the high 40s. So it went down 50%. And I can easily see that happening again if you have a really vicious bear market like you had back in 2008, which I think is possible. But if your time horizon is long, I'm talking a decade plus, Berkshire is a great company to be owning, and it's going to continue to create value for shareholders over the long run. But I do think you'll have a better buying opportunity in the next 2 to 3 years.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for calling, John. Let's go to James in New York. Are you in New York City or just New York?
At the moment, I'm in New York City. I work in the city. I live in the suburbs.
Gotcha. Okay. What can I do for you? You want to talk about Microsoft?
Yeah, I was in specifically in relation to today. Looks like they made an announcement that they were going to buy LinkedIn.
Yep.
And that seemed to have been the case that the announcement made LinkedIn, the share price, I believe, went up about $61 per share.
Mm-hmm.
So any owners of LinkedIn got to enjoy those really nice gains today.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, in that particular situation, will that do anything for the Microsoft end of people, the people who have Microsoft in the holding? Is there any jump to be had?
No, because Microsoft's paying that amount. They don't own it yet. They got to pay that total amount. So no,
right.
Actually, you know, then the market will judge that acquisition as well. And sometimes the acquirer will also go up because the market will think or believe that acquisition was good. They paid a good price, or the synergies that they can squeeze out of that company are going to be high enough to warrant that acquisition. In the case of Microsoft was down $1.35 today, about 2.5%. So the market's saying, we think that Microsoft probably overpaid for LinkedIn. Now, is the market killing Microsoft over this? I wouldn't say that. You know, I've seen times where stocks go down 10-15% because they made an acquisition, and the market just really hates it. I think the market definitely didn't welcome it with open arms. And I think the main reason is because of the history Microsoft has with acquisitions. They bought Nokia for $7.2 billion in 2013. Well, they wrote off over $7.6 billion of that Microsoft or that Nokia acquisition, and showing that it was a giant waste of shareholder capital. And you have other acquisitions like a Quantiv deal. They wrote off 98% of that. And just the history of acquiring companies by Microsoft just hasn't worked out very well, to be honest with you. Then you have Skype as well. That hasn't really been a booming success either. So that's why I think the market's saying to Microsoft, or saying to the rest of the market, saying this is probably not a great acquisition. I think it still could work out, but I'm not a Microsoft buyer here anyway.
I just wanted to know, too, it looks like I read somewhere that Microsoft might be doing a share buyback or share repurchasing, whatever the term may be. What does that mean for, like, shareholders if that's going up?
Well, it tends to be positive for shareholders in the short run, and the reason is because you have a natural buyer of the stock. Whenever it dips, you have their own company. Microsoft will go in and buy shares, and they'll be buying on a consistent basis. That's what a stock buyback program is. They want to buy X amount over, you know, an X period of time, and that's a natural buyer of the stock, and that's good for the short term, like I said. But over the long run, that's only good if they're buying those shares at a low price, at a cheap valuation that is has a good earnings yield, for example. And so Microsoft right now, they're at a current price, their operating earnings yield is only 3.73%. So really, they're only earning 3.73% on that money that they're using to buy back stock. So to me, Microsoft's not cheap enough at the current time for me to say, oh, this is a great time for Microsoft to be redeploying their capital into buying back their stock, because I don't think Microsoft is cheap at this level. Now, is it screaming expensive? No, I don't think that either. But it is certainly a positive in the short term. And in the long run, you know, that's yet to be seen.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, James. Thanks for calling in. That was a good stream of questions, and hope I gave some great insight to everybody. Now, a real estate agent can cost or can save you thousands of dollars. I see this all the time. There's so much at stake with your real estate transactions, whether you're trying to downsize as a retiree, which we see a lot. We help with clients in that way. Whether you just want to buy a home, whether you want to sell your current home and move to another area, whatever it is. Maybe you have extra homes, you have vacation homes, whatever it is, it's important to have the right perspective when you're going in to making that transaction, or it's investing. There are opportunities to invest in this market. They're pretty much rarely in California, but there are opportunities throughout the country. So understanding your options is very, very important. And the question is, what makes a realtor different? Why should I list my home with you? Or why should I use you to buy a home? What's your marketing plan? What are the important questions to ask? Now, we have a list of 10 of our Invest Talk insiders, and these are 10 questions to ask a realtor before you use them. So sign up for free on investtalk.com today, and you can get that list of 10 questions. Now, you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Justin Klein. We have about 9 minutes left in the show, so if you're going to call in, do it ASAP. We have time for you. 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. It's our anytime number. Go to Doug in San Francisco. How you doing, Doug?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question about Alcoa. I have a position and just wondering if I should hang on to it or sell.
I'd sell it. I'm not a fan of Alcoa. I think there's a lot better names out there. It certainly declined a lot, so it's cheaper than it was. But technically, it continues to roll over. It's not making really new highs when a lot of the other commodity names are making new highs, and I think it'll bounce around here for a while. So I think you'll have a lot of volatility, and it'll trade in the $7 to $12 range for a while. But it has a lot of debt, and you know, if we go into a recession, a lot less companies will be using aluminum, and just not a fan of Alcoa. I think you can put your money better elsewhere.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
No problem, Doug. Thanks for calling. That was Alcoa AA is the symbol. Let's talk quickly about Apple before we close for the day. They just had their Worldwide Developers Conference today, and they're making some fresh changes to their many operating systems, and they're trying to court developers by opening up their Siri virtual assistant to also its iMessaging service and a wide range of other aspects of its iOS operating system. This is for the first time. So you'll be able to, for instance, now, before you couldn't really interact with Siri and other applications, where now you'll be able to say, for example, they're using the example of WeChat, which is a messaging app. You can say, instead of, before you could only send a message through iMessage, which is a native app, right? Now you can say, I want to send a message to John through WeChat, and this is my message that I want to send, and it will send it, right? So more integration with other apps, not just native apps. And this is really big because developers in Silicon Valley are starting to migrate to other types of platforms, showcase their products and their applications in other areas like Amazon's voice-controlled Echo, Facebook's Messenger, etc. And they're trying to say, no. Apple is still the best platform to develop for. And I think this is important because the iPhone would be nowhere near what it is today if they did not have such a strong developer community for the Apple iOS platform. You wouldn't have, 2 million apps now on the App Store, and they paid out $50 billion to app creators over the past 8 years. So Apple's moving into emojis, animated GIFs, commercial services. You'll be able to order an Uber straight from your iMessage, things like that. Really, artificial intelligence is really where they're going with this. And this is a huge opportunity for Apple. And that's really where the industry is going. And there's going to be a lot of disruptions in the coming years. And Apple needs to be at the forefront. And opening up assets such as Siri, messaging, maps, etc. is necessary for that endeavor. So they're making a lot of great changes. I think this is a very strong showing from Apple today at their WWC conference. Let's go to Daniel in Palo Alto. He wants to talk about United Airlines.
Yes, sir. Just a quick question. I bought it. It's down about 10%. My reasoning had to do with the price of oil and the airline industry. Just wondered if I should hang on to it or get the heck out of there.
I do think that it looks like it'll get a bounce, and I think it'll get a bounce because oil prices will come down a little bit. I think oil is probably going to go back down into the low 40s, and that will give a little bit of boost to the airline stocks generally, but I would be looking to get out of it. I am not a fan of the airlines. They've had a huge run. Competition is starting to creep up. You're having the economy starting to weaken. A lot of corporations' profits are being squeeze, so there's going to be less business travelers as well. So I would be looking for an exit point on the next little rally, anywhere around the high, I'd say $50 level, 51, 52, somewhere in there, I would definitely get out. Thanks, Daniel. Now our time is up. A reminder that Steve has set aside a few hours this week on June 16th to review retirement portfolios via Skype or phone. If you'd like to sign up for one of the available time slots, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, then hit Portfolio Review, and we'll set you up a time. I'm Justin Klein, Executive Vice President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. Let's get together again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.